Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey y'all, welcome back to part three here on the Friday, June 17th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. We're wrapping up here with all things Louisville basketball. Louisville is, I believe, how you say it. Apologies to all the Louisville fans who are tuning in to this edition of the podcast. I promise I'll get it down. I'm not still 100% certain how to actually pronounce it. One day. But we've got ESPN, ESPN's Louisville. See, now it's just in my head. Louisville. Stephen Rummage on the podcast for part three here on this Friday edition on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Thank you guys for checking this out. And part three, if you missed part two and part one, guess what? They're all right here on your podcast player. So whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, whatever it is, all episodes from today right there for your listening pleasure whenever you have a chance to check them all out. So all kinds of great content on this very feed, so I hope you guys check it all out. But first things first, Stephen comes on this very program to talk about Louisville committing to an AD long term. It looks like we got Kenny Payne in the building now coaching this basketball team, what he's gotten right thus far, where it went wrong with Chris Mack, the Wagner saga, and just where he's leaning. DJ Wagner, the prized high school recruit, is he going to end up at Louisville or Cal or with Coach Cal at Kentucky? Just a really interesting recruiting battle there. We've got Brandon Huntley Hatfield and how he fits transferring in from Tennessee. Imani Bates, does he end up winding up at Louisville as well? And then, of course, a little bit of Teon Evans checking in on our guy Teon from last season's Tennessee Vol football team and how he figures into Scott Satterfield's 2022 Louisville Cardinals. So there you go. Jam-packed show for you guys today, and I hope you guys enjoy as we wrap up part three here on the Chase Thomas Podcast with Stephen Rummage. So without further ado, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs you to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, taping this on a Thursday afternoon. First-timer in the building, Stephen Rummage is here. Stephen, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Chase, man, it's an honor, man. Thank you for bringing me on. I'm good talking sports, man. Any kind of sports we can talk, and obviously I love talking to cards too, so it'll be a good time, man.
Absolutely, because we have some card stuff, obviously BHH, who we'll talk about in a second, moving on from Tennessee to Louisville. That is a killer shirt, though. I like the vintage Louisville look.
They have everything around here now is moving back to that era.
Yeah.
Duncan Cardinal. We're kind of going through a little bit of a renaissance with that.
There you go. I mean, hey, like, it's better. Like, when you look at, is it Homefield who does all the old school logos and stuff? Yeah. Like, you look at all of that and you're like, what are we doing? Like, we overthink logos in these schools, so they go back, and it's just, I had a Pitt reporter on yesterday, and then I just went down a Pitt logo rabbit hole, and their first old one is just fantastic, where you're like, we've just gotten progressively worse. If you just keep adding more logos, chances are it's probably worse than what folks have been doing beforehand.
We're moving closer to the XFL than good.
Yes. Yeah. Right. 100%. Well, y'all have got a permanent AD now. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, you know, it was a I don't know if people knew kind of how contentious it got.
Yeah.
At times, obviously, Tom Jurich used to be the AD here.
Great book on that era with him and Pitino. Yeah. One of my favorite books I read during the pandemic. Yeah, crazy times.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of a uprising to kind of bring him back. You know, it never really was on the table, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got Josh Hurd, and so far, so good, you know, so we'll see kind of how it pans out. But he's, you know, when you hire, he was able to hire the basketball coach, which at the University of Louisville is a big deal, you know, for us. So when he made the hire, and he made the hire that people wanted, he won a lot of goodwill, you know, there. So
Kenny was the overwhelming favorite for fans. Is that, that's who they wanted?
Big time.
Okay.
Really him. And man, I, you know, there was at the very start, you kind of heard Bruce Pearl was kind of like somebody that were like, man, can we get Bruce Pearl from Auburn? We don't even know, you know, where, but it was pretty much Kenny Payne the whole time.
That's interesting. Did you think you would get Kenny Payne? Like, did you think that he would actually make that choice to come to Louisville and he would move on from the bench and the NBA and not wait it out on that front? Did you think that that would actually be what ended up happening, even though that's what fans wanted?
Sure. You know, I mean, there is Louisville's the type of community. I mean, I think Knoxville is kind of a lot like it, where the alumni base, there's a lot there and they talk a lot.
Yes.
You know, so it's, you kind of knew that there were, hey, Kenny wants the job. I think the bigger thing was Louisville fans didn't realize, I think in our mind, we were like, go get Kenny and let's get it done. I think Louisville fans realized how hard it was to get that contract and everything worked out. I mean, he was leaving the Knicks mid-season. Yep. And I mean, you know, it's kind of ironic because we spent years screaming at William Wesley and World Wide West and different things. And it was like, you know, that's his guys. And he had to leave them. And so there was a lot more there. But I do think for him in his mind that it was like, I have to take it. It just has to work out, you know. So more along the schematics of it to get him here as opposed to him wanting it.
Was part of the holdup too, because it's interesting with like Pitino and Mac, it's just – Payne's extremely different in that Mac was successful. Like, no one thought, and we'll talk about Mac in a second, but Mac and Pitino came in with this high pedigree of actual head coaching experience. Kenny Payne is just someone that you're assuming is going to be a great head coach. He has obviously been an assistant for a really long time, great recruiter, that kind of thing. Players love him, but you've also never seen him be a head coach. That's never happened. And this is a big job with a community that loves basketball. And because of him being kind of the fan favorite, is there some nervousness there where it's like, this is a big job and he, like, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him right away to get this thing steered in the right direction, because Cal's not going anywhere and this Kentucky program's not going anywhere. And he jumps right into the Wagner sweepstakes. And we'll talk about that in a second. But is that a area of concern for you and fans that this is his first head coaching job?
I think so to an extent. There is something, and I know I keep kind of referencing Tennessee. I think there's
nothing wrong with that on this podcast.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where being one of us kind of trumps that worry, if that makes sense. Where I think if he wasn't a card, you know, family, you know, it's like, there's no way.
Yeah.
People have lost their minds. Get hired an assistant coach for the Louisville basketball. Now, Louisville football, we know where we stand in the pecking order there. You know, it's a little more of like, hey, we don't have a seat at the table. We're trying to. Basketball's a little different, you know, and it was with him, though, he's a member of the family. And in this community, that's a big deal. To be a former guy, you know, I mean, even up I mean, I know we're talking basketball right now, but I mean, you can't go anywhere without somebody saying, hey man, Satterfield don't win 6-7 games. We got to get Jeff Brohm. Like, we got to get Jeff Brohm, you know, and that's a constant conversation here. So I do think there's a little bit of that. Now, his time at Kentucky, obviously, you know, I mean, he was associate head coach, done a lot there, going to the Knicks. I think he does at least have enough of a resume that calms your nerves a touch, you know, and the players he's produced and the different stuff. But if we're 2 years in, 3 years in, and it's like, oh man, we're, you know, we're bubble team, there will be more of that talk. I think right now, though, it's just kind of getting pushed to the side, and there's just almost trust, just you know, blinded trust. Like, hey man, we trust him. Let's see what he can do.
When you look at his coaching staff, do you feel like that it's a pretty solid staff? Because that's another part of it, is just that, like, if you're a first time head coach, you got to surround yourself with the right staff to get this thing humming. Do you think the staff around Kenny that was assembled is a pretty solid, good staff?
Yeah, you know, I love the staff. And, you know, it's one of those deals where Nolan Smith was another legacy guy here with his dad, Derek. And some people really like that hire. It's funny, the Danny Manning was never mentioned. Like, Nolan, this name came up a lot. You know, you're like, yeah, you're probably getting Nolan. Even Josh Jamison from Oregon, you know, had come up because you knew there was a connection there. But Danny Manning, we were on the air, and we got an email, and it was like, hey, there's a press conference today at 1 o'clock, a staff edition. Everybody was like, well, who's this? You know, and I know you said we'll talk about it in a minute, but Milt Wagner, former Louisville card, had been kind of rumored. You were like, well, maybe this is Milt. Nobody knows. And you show up, even showing up to the press conference, it was, I think Rothstein had a tweet and it's before the press conference started. It's like, hey, Danny Manning's going to be the hire. And Kenny himself said he just didn't know it was an option. And I guess Danny Manning gave him a ring, and he was like, well, hey, man, like, you know, let's move this direction. So the staff has been very that part of it. People, I think, around here are like, hey, A+. They do love the staff. So, but again, like I said, you feel like you touched every role. You got Nolan, a young recruiter. You've got Danny Manning, a guy who's kind of an OG in the game, if you let me say. And then Josh Jamison, who, I mean, you know, he was a director of ops at Oregon for years. And hiring him allowed us to up a lady, Stephanie DeBold, move her into the ops role. And she's been at Louisville for 20-some years now. So it seemed to all kind of fall into place.
That's interesting. What has he gotten right thus far? Now that he's been on the job a couple months, what have you seen out of Kenny Payne that you think, okay, this is something that he has absolutely gotten right and hit a home run on?
You know, just this fan base is very much, you have to, I don't want to say, I guess, cater to him.
Yeah.
That, you know, like,
as a Tennessee guy, I know this all too well. Yeah, okay. You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I kind of compare, like, okay, Tennessee football and Louisville basketball. It's kind of the same, you know, where they're at. And it's like, in Louisville basketball, you have to cater to the fan base. You have to, you're a politician. Yes. I mean, you know, you really are. And he has done, that's where Mac failed. And we can, that later too. But like, Kenny Payne has done everything right. And again, like I said, he's got a little bit of a cheat code because he's a former player.
Yeah.
But I mean, even that, he's not taking that for granted. He has been out in front of the fans. They just did a question and answer with season ticket holders 2 days ago. They let fans just ask questions, you know, just, and the staff come out one by one. They ask them questions. Luke Hancock, former player, he hosted it. It's like that type of stuff. I thought he's done well because he's made the fans feel like it's their program again, you know, and for a guy who there's really no on the court, there's nothing yet. I mean, just started workouts yesterday. Yeah. It's hard for me to really say anything on the court. You know, you can't mess up if you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
But that part of it probably stands out as what he's really hit a home run, because he could have just come in and said, hey, I'm an alumni. I got the job. The fans love me. You know, now I can do my job, but he's made a point to be out in the community. Yeah.
Well, then let's talk about Mac, because that is something that's just so fascinating to me, because obviously it ended horribly. There was that stuff with the assistant, like the Chris Mack experience had everything. But when he was hired, it's just funny when you go back and you read some pieces and like, oh, everyone was in on Chris Mack at Louisville. That was one of those things where you can't really fault Louisville, because it was just a great hire at the time. And it was like, OK, they're going to be fine. Yeah. And that's obviously not what happened. Chris Mack, the Chris Mack era did not go well at Louisville. But in as someone on the ground and local and been around the program, what did Mack get wrong at Louisville?
Well, you're 100% right. I mean, like, I don't want to rewrite history. When we hired Chris Mack, it was pretty universal.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, yeah, no, this is the guy. You know, it had been rumored for a few years that, like, hey, once Patino's done, Tom Jurich kind of got his eye on Chris Mack, his next guy. There was the joke, you know, because it got said 1,000 times. You're like, well, you know, his wife's family's from Louisville.
Yeah. And he's from like Ohio, which is obviously not far from Kentucky. So he's low. It's not a crazy cultural fit for him.
No, not at all. I mean, it seemed like the perfect fit. It really, even when he come in that first year, you know, you have a middle of the road feeling like talented roster, which that's something I think Louisville fans are good at looking at a roster and saying, okay, we can set realistic expectations for a team.
Yeah.
Enjoy a team that we're like, okay, this team's not a Final Four team. We know. We can watch this team and say, they're not gonna make a run, but we can enjoy them for what they are. And here was that. You come right at you, beat Michigan State. You go to North Carolina, beat them by 28, 29. And then the second year, you're the number one team in the country.
Yep.
You know, you got top 10 class, and it felt like, hey, we're rolling. Then obviously the tournament gets canceled.
You
know? It was like, you know, number two seed in the ACC tournament gets canceled. And that's where the next year things got really weird.
Yeah.
Everything seemed fine, you know, and then we have the COVID year, obviously. And the team is pretty good.
Are we talking about Chris Mack or Tom Crean at Georgia right now?
Right. Exactly. Listen.
Yes.
100%, man. I mean, that's a great comparison of how it kind of went. And it was like, that year gets a little hairy. There's obviously some things going on. Then after the season, almost immediately, it's like, wait a minute. And again, I told you before, this is an area where things, it's tough to keep things secret. I don't think Chris Mack wanted it out that he was letting the coaches go. It got out, you know, and it's like, and in this state, if an entity from Lexington gets a hold of it or something, they're going to put it out there, you know, just to like, sorry, you know, and that's kind of what happened. And it was like, okay, now you have this issue. Regardless, you get rid of the coaches, then you've got the new coaches coming in, and then boom, you're like, wait a minute, Dino Gaudio extorted him, and now there's audio of this. I mean, I'm telling like a super long story, very short, you know. Now, remember, Chase, the last 5 years or so, Louisville fans have been, I mean, we have become lawyers. Like, between you had the Katina Powell stuff, and then you move into the FBI stuff, and it's like, what? So now you've got this, and it's like, we have an extortion, and it's like, man, we're tired of black eyes. Come on.
Yeah. We can only go into so many back rooms at restaurants looking for the next story.
Right. And that's what it started to feel like. Yeah. Come on. So then the year starts. The president gives him a six-game suspension, which is for the whole month. And it just felt like from that point on, it was just bad. You know, like you could tell.
It was unsalvageable.
Yeah, you could tell when he came back. You're like, the coaching staff don't like each other. Something's going
Seems
on.
Bad.
Yeah, it was just they were arguing on the sidelines. And that's when you have, again, referencing back to Tennessee football, with basketball, you have a lot of people that give a lot of money that are like, and we had some, I mean, you're talking some of your millions of dollar donors that were like, hey, publicly, we're out. Better change this. And then it was just midseason, you know, Louisville gave him an ultimatum. It's like, hey, if it come back a level two, Louisville could fire him for free.
Mm-hmm.
That was in his contract. So Louisville worked it out with him and said, hey, you're owed $12 million. We'll give you $4 million. Go ahead and get out the door now. Or you can take a chance. And ultimately, I think it worked out for Louisville. And that was another thing Josh heard from the back. You know, he orchestrated that because that was the time. We were also, by the way, losing the AD. Mm-hmm. The president had just left. So it worked pretty seamlessly getting out. Even though it was ugly, you know, it was like, but the transition, but it's just kind of wild, man. I really thought he was the perfect guy, but he just, I don't know how to say it, Chase, other than like, it's almost like he didn't realize what he was walking into. Hmm. And I think there's probably a couple coaches that took the Tennessee football job that you can say, man, like, I don't think they realize, like, no, this isn't a joke, man. Hmm. like you're the man here. I think that was his case, and it was almost too much. You could tell it was wearing him out. I mean, he looked like he was aging, like right before, as you're like, dude, I don't think you realized what this is. You know, people, whatever you order at a restaurant.
This is not Xavier.
It's not Xavier. People are going to go, wait a minute. He looked like he was mad at his kids when he was walking. You know, we got a game tomorrow. Like, it's that type of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny, but I think that's kind of where that one landed, man.
What do you think he does next?
I don't know. You know, I think there's a real shot getting to know him a little bit while he's here. I think there's a real shot he's done.
Interesting.
He made it clear to many people that he didn't. He was like, I'm not going to be one of those guys coaching till I'm 70.
Yeah.
He's not. He's got two young girls. They're really good at volleyball.
Hmm.
Pardon me. Just like, I mean, they're all American good at volleyball. There was a little rumor that maybe he was interested in Georgia when that popped open. I think his name come up for Missouri a little bit, not necessarily from those schools.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's an odd case. It's like, I could see him coaching again, but I also don't think it's that far fetched to say he's just done.
It's impossible. Like Sean Miller's at Xavier now, and Thad Matta, who people said for years would never come back, he's back. Sure. I mean, it's probably one of those things where he's going to take some time and he's in no rush. Like in his early 50s, he's got, like you said, young kids where it's like, unless it's the perfect kind of job, he's like, I got my money. I'm good, man. Like, unless you throw the right opportunity at me, I'm not going to go be an assistant or any of that, because he's not doing media either, right? Like, I haven't seen him.
He's got he's got his Twitter. He don't really talk about much. And let me be clear, like, I think Mac's a good coach. I really like, I if somebody hired him, I'd be like, you're getting a good coach. I just don't think the fit at Louisville was right.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah.
I also just wonder the COVID year, like what happens? Cause they were a really good team that COVID year. And there are some programs where you're in year two and you've got this thing humming and then everything's canceled. And then obviously the bottom falls out. Crean was like that. Mac was like that. You just talked to a lot of college coaches about the year and a half, 2 years. Like, if you were a new coach during that time period, you got really, really screwed in a lot of ways.
Louisville, you know, I don't know how to say this without kind of making it a little political to an extent.
Yeah.
Louisville is a very progressive city in a conservative state.
If
I can say it like that. Mm-hmm. And Mac was more on the line of, I think he caught some flack from some of the fan base because he was very much in the camp of like, this is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like hey, he would publicly say, he was pretty public with, I don't understand why we're testing the way we are, why we're doing the stuff we're doing. So
there was just a lot of non-culture fits there. It's just a lot of stuff where it's just.
Yes.
It wasn't going to work because Kenny Payne's not going to be like that. It's not going to happen.
100%. You know, we had the stuff happen up in Louisville last year or the year before last. You know, there was a lot of protests, a lot of things going on. He was not going to talk about that, you know, whereas I think whether you agree or disagree, it's like you almost have to say something.
Right.
You know? And he just was very much like, nope, no part of it. So at the end, it just, like you said, just culturally everything, it just didn't work. Yeah, it just didn't work.
Well, we alluded to Milt Wagner, who has joined the fold at Louisville, a long time coming there. And I am so fascinated by this recruitment, because folks, if you are not familiar with what's going on between Louisville and Kentucky over the next year, it's everything you want in a college basketball story, where Louisville hires Kenny Payne, a longtime Cal guy. You bring in Milt Wagner. That's one of his first big things for a role that I'm not certain what exists. Is this a new role? Is this a new position? Because I read it and I was like, this sounds made up. I don't think this existed before. This is not an open position at Louisville.
A little bit of a babysitter. Yeah, it's kind of player relations. Mm-hmm. We'll say he is moving into a role that former Card Reese Gaines was in. Now Reese is a little more of video guy.
Yeah.
A lot has to do with keeping alumni happy. Mm-hmm. You know, keeping former players happy, making sure they know that they're welcome, different things like that.
There you go. Well, it's interesting because DJ Wagner, because we're all getting old and time comes for us all, is DeJuan Wagner now is a son who is the number one prospect for this upcoming class. And obviously, his father played for Cal at Memphis, so he's really cool with Cal.
Yes.
And then Louisville, and you have Milt, who's obviously now working at Louisville, mm-hmm. is his grandfather. So this young man is going to have to pick between his father or his grandfather. And his dad has said, DeJuan has said that, like, he's not involved. It's his son. Like, DJ can do whatever he wants to do, so he's not going to push him. But he's like, I'm also not going to lie. Like, I'm close to Cal. And I'm sure DJ knows Cal really well. He knows Kenny probably really well, too. Like, how do you see this playing out over the next year? Like, is this going to be like a really heated battle? Is this something that, like, it could get a little testy between Kenny and Cal? Because, like, they're going after the same dude and he's a program changer. Like, this is a program changer kind of guy. Where are they at with both of those guys?
Well, I don't think it'll play out over the year. I think it'll be probably this summer.
Oh, you think it's done this summer?
What happened this summer with him? That's
interesting.
That's not like a fact. That's just kind of the buzz around that recruitment is like
he wants to get it done.
I don't think he'll string either one of them along, you know, because he's going to one of the two schools. Everybody,
yes,
unless he decided to go play in the G League, you know, which could be close to college, he's going to do that. You're right, it is so fascinating in the rivalry, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously Kentucky fans were like, that's been it was a no-brainer. DJ Wagner, Kentucky, you know, that you didn't care. Well, then the Kenny Payne thing happens. You know, immediately the Milt Wagner rumor starts.
Mm-hmm.
Then Milt Wagner's not named to the three.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a celebration on the Kentucky side. You know, they're not hiring Milt all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Then Milt's name to the staff. Then the EYBL just happened up in Louisville. You had an event up here, and there was a couple games. One of them, DJ Wagner and his team played Bronny James and his team.
Mm-hmm.
There ended up being like 4,000 or 5,000 people that were there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just.
Is Bronny on Louisville's radar?
No, I've never, at least I've never heard his name for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He
popped up on Tennessee's, and I was like, man, I don't like the. What those games would be like, Bronny James and TBA would be an experience like no other. Like LeBron just courtside for Tennessee basketball games would just be a lot to take in. Like that's a lot to just wrap your head around.
It would be incredible. Yeah. No, I haven't heard his name, but DJ has a couple teammates too.
Yeah.
That Louisville's looking at. So it's, you know, then there was a rumor that, hey, you know, there's a world that Cal hires DeJuan.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of faded. So to your point, man, it's like weekly. It's the conversation. Like, you know, I mean, it's anywhere you go. And to an extent, it is giving Kenny Payne a pass. And I know we'll get to this season, but giving Kenny Payne a pass to this season, too, because everybody's like, hey, you know, you get DJ Wagner. We're worried about, and I mean, Louisville don't even know if they're going to be able to play in the tournament this season. That's something we're waiting to hear. But yeah, it is. It's something that's kind of ignited the rivalry again. Now, when Cal, even little things like when Cal offered Robert Dillingham, and there was kind of some rumor that Dillingham was going to pick Kentucky, you know, Louisville fans were like, "That's Cal bowing out." You know, you're scared of the DJ Wagner thing. You don't want you don't want to end this battle anymore. But I do think it's going to be one that, like you said, it's going to be fascinating to watch. But it's one I don't think is going to go extremely long. Yeah, I think sooner than later, Wagner will make a pick. There's a pretty strong growing consensus that that pick will be Louisville now.
Interesting.
Which
is it NIL related?
Not really. Not really. Now, he will make a ton of NIL once he gets.
Well, that's what I'm curious about. What is where is Louisville at with NIL? Are they hit the ground running? You have a strong collective. What's the situation there?
They've done very well, especially on the football side.
Okay.
Coach Satterfield right now is Louisville sitting at number six. Which, you know, I mean, we'll fluctuate as other, you know, as the SEC eats and some of the other schools get what they get. But it's going to probably finish in the top 15, top 20. You know, one of the highest Louisville's ever gotten. On the Louisville just started a collective. I think it was just announced actually last week that's going to be going. But you have a lot of big money guys here in the city. And Louisville, again, much like Knoxville, it's the show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the show here. You don't have other things to put it in. There's no NBA teams. There's no, you know, I mean, the closest thing you got is the Bats, you know, the Red AAA team. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of money funnels into that program. And they've done, I mean, Louisville center Sidney Curry. I mean, he has a brand new 2022 Jeep. You know, they've got deals with Planet Fitness. It's been rumored that Malik Cunningham, the quarterback, is making, gosh, upwards towards a couple, I think, $300,000-$400,000, you know, in NIL. So it seems to be going well. They just haven't really been loud about it.
Yeah.
And then Kenny Payne steps in, and Kenny Payne has been very adamant in the transfer portal with, I like NIL, but if NIL is your first question, I'm not going to, you know, which,
it's a lot of coaches are like that.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is odd because that's kind of what, I mean, to be honest, Louisville fans were kind of like, this is why we, you know, this killed us for years in Kentucky because we would shout, we're like, wait a minute, something's going on over there. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, are we not? And now it's like, you're kind of not that. So,
yeah. I mean, that's the Jimbo Nick Saban thing where it's like, no, Jimbo, Nick's complimenting you. That was like a whole misunderstanding that should never have happened where, Nick saying we have to adapt because they are ahead of us now and they are going to beat us in recruiting because they are ahead of us. It was not a shot. It was like, they're coming and they're ahead. So here's what we have to do to get ahead. There's a reason he said that, not in front of the media, but in front of a bunch of business leaders in Alabama. That is what that was. That's the dumbest argument from this summer. Oh my God.
Oh listen, no, 100%. And like I told you, the guy I do the show with from Clarksville, son Jalen, babe, and we're big SEC football guys. We love some SEC football. There's always the joke up here for years. It's like, hey, we love SEC football. We're like, not what Kentucky and Vandy play. We love SEC football, you know, of course.
Yeah.
So we kind of always made that, but it's yeah, I mean, and this is kind of that type of war, you know, up here. Like, hey, they're getting guys. We've lost a lot of games over the years to Kentucky where it was like, you know, we might be just as good of a team, but they just got the one dude you know, and now you want that to change and kind of bringing it all the way back around. DJ Wagner would kind of be the first shot that feel like, hey, we finally got him. Like, we finally got one over on Cal. Like, no, this is our guy now. You know, now we're going to come in and we're going to take guys that you want as opposed to it being the other way around. So, you're right. Fascinating's the word, man. I mean, I don't know how long it'll go, but while it's going, if you say his name up here, the conversation stops and it goes to that.
So, we're saying today, June 16th, DJ Wagner, you think he's a Cardinal?
I think so. I think. Right now, you know, right now. So
I like it.
Yeah.
There you go. Beating Kentucky. It's one of Rick Barnes' favorite, and maybe it'll be one of Kenny Payne's favorite things to do.
Rick Barnes is a very loved man in the city of Louisville. Trust me.
Is he really? Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That is a, that's one where anytime in rivalry fodder, Rick Barnes is brought up a lot where it's like, yeah, you know, when it's, well, we got Cal, we're like, hey, he's not even the best coach in the conference. You know? So there's a lot of that because Rick Barnes, he owns him a little bit of Calipari. So we enjoy that.
Yeah, I anyone who doesn't like Rick Barnes, and it's like the whole thing where people were nervous of like when NIL was coming in of like, oh, is Rick Barnes at 67 going to adapt to NIL? And it's like, well, it's the whole thing where he's like, he's not going to lead with NIL, but he's going to show, hey, Kennedy Chandler, first round pick, Keon Johnson, first round pick. And he's just going to go up and down the list. He's like, I developed like Zakai Ziegler came in August. Like, I still don't understand how he enrolled when he enrolled and was, but he was there. He showed up, he did all that. And he's a good player. Like, he's a player friendly guy, but he's also very, very honest and demanding and defense first. And I think when people, what we're going to see is a lot of lazy takes about NIL over the next couple of years for a lot of different programs. And it's just not reality when you're invested in a program and you know these coaches and you know these players, where no, they want to be told what's real. They want to be told how they're going to be used. They want to be told, like, this leads us to Brandon Huntley Hatfield, where he was not used in a way that he, I think, wants to be used. And Kenny Payne, I'm sure they have a plan, and they got together when he was in the portal of like, hey, this is how we'll use you versus how Barnes used you. It's not wrong. Like, that's just, he didn't see him that way and he was not used that way. And that's okay, because Tennessee will adapt and they'll move on, and they wish him the best, and it's no bad blood. I don't think there's any negative hostility or anything, or BHH feels lied to or anything like that. Right. It's just more of like, it's not a schematic fit for what he wants to be as a player. And if you watch a lot of Tennessee basketball, what he wants to do is just not reality. Like, that's just not going to be what Barnes is going to want from his bigs. He wants you at the rim. He wants you playing defense first. He wants you scaring dudes. He wants the Euros Plavsiches far more than the bigs who stretch the floor. It's just not his game. He would rather just go four guards and one big that he can count on, which is, I think, what they're going to do a lot this year.
Sure. Well, I mentioned Marcus Maben, who I do the show with here. You know, Louisville. He's a legend up here in Louisville. Mm-hmm. From Clarksville. And
I think Jimmy Chadwell's from Clarksville too, Coastal coach. Yeah.
Well, and Brandon was.
Yeah.
And Marcus knows Brandon's family really well. Tony, you know, they're pretty close. And you're 100% right on that. Like, they love Tennessee. You know, it was one of the things where him coming out of there, it was like, man, there is legitimately no beef at all with why I'm leaving. I just see myself as this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he had a meeting with Kenny Payne. You know, there was a little thought about Auburn there, or a big thought, not a little thought. You know, I think a lot of people thought, you know, hey, because Bruce Pearl had a very close relationship with Brandon. Yeah. So, but that's one, man, fans were really pumped about, because it was one coming out. Now, and again, people do forget a little bit. Probably not you, you know, but some people went Louisville side. When you think about it, you're like, he was a reclass, you know, he was a guy who was supposed to be in this class. He was a top 10 kid coming in, reclasses, goes to a place like Tennessee who has some veteran bigs.
Yep.
And you think you're the man, you know, and then you come in, and I think Brandon last year got a little dose of like, no, there's some grown men out here that can play. Yeah.
Like, he probably wouldn't have started again this year. And I'm sure that would, because Kamau comes back. Like, Kamau coming back, like, I don't think he would have started. I think that was just, he got added to the super big lineup with him and Plavsic because of the injury. And I'm sure that's part of the conversation. Like, there was no pathway to him playing immediately.
You're right. And I like him, who is looking to stretch a little bit, is looking at things. I think he sees himself in a different role.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, there is a spot for him here, and there is a path to start here.
Yeah,
next to Sidney Curry, and that's probably what you're going to see with those two. Early reports of him have been very good.
Yeah, are you worried about the spacing between those two starting and playing a lot of minutes together?
You know, not so much this season, because I think everybody this year is like kind of. Right now, we have not a nine guy roster, you know, like we're and scholarship. I'm sorry, a nine scholarship, and it may, you know, there's still the Amani Bates talk going on, so we'll see what happens with that. Honestly,
are they the favorites for Amani?
They have been for a while, up until the last week. It's like, oh, maybe there's some other things going on there. Kids like him, you just don't know, You're going to know when he shows up on a campus somewhere. You're going to say, oh, okay, we got him. But
that might be Carnell Tate over here with Ohio State and Tennessee over the next couple days. It's just going to be, he's going to pop out and he might just say Notre Dame. I don't know.
You're right. And it's like, you know, so I think fans are just in a holding pattern with that. But no, I don't think fans are as worried about that this year. I think if you look at it a couple years from now, maybe. But Kenny has known to like two bigs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a new brand, whereas we're coming off of Rick Pitino was very much, give me one shot blocker, give me a really good shot blocker underneath, and then I don't care what else I put out there, you know, outside of those four as far as bigs. Chris Mack was very much, give me a big guy, put him underneath, we're going to four out this thing, you know, and that's how we're going to do. Kenny Payne is a little more, you know, give me a big and then give me a power forward that could play the center as well. So I don't know. Interesting. That is more of a case study to us this year than I think an expectation with those two playing together.
I'm interested because obviously BHH has got all the talent in the world. Huge kid. Like, he's huge. But the touch, I don't know. I have questions about the shooting touch. I have questions. I watched a lot of stuff inside where I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. And he has time to develop. And I just think he's in a better situation now. So for him personally.
Sure. I agree. And like I said, you know, he's a Tennessee kid. He and the mom was clear about that. Like, hey, man, we love Tennessee. You know, it's just, it's one of those things. He had a connection with Kenny Payne at Kentucky, you know, and a lot of people think he may have ended up at Kentucky, you know, and Kenny Payne stayed at Kentucky. So, I mean, it would have been a battle there, obviously, between the two, but little glad to have him and need him underneath.
Well, now that you mentioned BHH and Curry, I'm assuming those two probably going to start. Like, you can go ahead and pencil those two in as two starters, most likely.
You would think. Yeah. Okay. That's the growing kind of consensus.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the rest of the lineup? Who do you think is the five man? Do you think you still have to figure out with Bates and that's going to kind of be a factor in how you fill out the rest of this lineup? But is there a five man lineup that you think Kenny Payne has right now that he would use the most?
I think there's a four for sure.
Okay.
You know, the Bates will change some things. I think it comes in. L. Ellis is going to start at the point. Honestly, because right now, I mean, he's a guy people were excited about finishing the season last year, but also he's the only point guard.
Yeah.
So it's one of those deals where you're like, yeah, he's the guy. He'll start at the point guard. Kamari Lance, freshman, really turning a lot of heads in individuals, has been doing things. We talked to Sidney Curry on the air the other day, him and L. Ellis, and both of them were like separately, and both of them said, hey, Kamari Lance play. Like, he's a good kid. I mean, he's a top 40 kid, you know, coming out of high school. He was committed to Syracuse for a while and then obviously committed to Louisville. So a lot of people really like him. I think he's probably in that role right now at the two. With Amani Bates not being here. Now, like I said, I'm going to operate like he's not. If he does, I think he would slide in there. But if not, it's going to be interesting to see how Kenny Payne does that. Louisville's not going to be a great shooting team this year.
Yeah.
So does he go for athlete? Does he take a guy like Jalen Withers and move Jalen Withers up and let him play on the wing a little bit? Does he take a guy like Mike James, who set out last year with an injury, who's a four-star kid out of Orlando, and move him in there? I just don't know with that spot. It's going to be more, how does he want to play, you know, because JJ Traynor can't play that spot. Rose Wheeler can't play that spot. So I think that it's really between those guys of who, again, like I said, barring you landing somebody else, even if it wasn't Amani Bates, you know, if they were to get a shooter or something that would come in there, I think that's probably the four set in stone. The question's going to be who wins that fifth spot.
Who else is in the portal that you, how many more portal ads do you think they make before the season starts?
You know, I think that they would like to add two, but they're okay with rolling with what they have.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those things where Kenny Payne said the other day to season ticket holders, he said, look, I'm just not, especially in year one, he said, I'm just not going to add a guy to add a guy, you know, like, there's really no sense in it. I mean, and I think he understands. It's kind of like he made the joke, you know, he said Penny Hardaway called him, Mike Woodson called him. We're like, hey, let's set up a home and home. And we're in Maui this year, and the Maui's pretty tough this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every team outside of Louisville is getting top 25 votes, and there's four of them are going to be in the top 10. And it was like he said he told them, you know, not this year. Like, to push that off. We're going to push that off because I don't know how these kids are going to respond, and I'm not going to send them out to slaughter just to do it. Because all these kids can come back. Everyone. Mm-hmm. So if I land a top class in 23, Louisville could be looking at another Chris Mack type scenario where, hey, year two, top 10 team, you know? So
it doesn't even really matter if you don't make the tournament this year. This is just kind of like a whole, like if you're banned from the tournament or anything like that, this is a year for it.
Yeah, this would be the year for it. I mean, obviously if he makes the tournament this year, it's something that makes you cringe as a fan, especially, you know, with Louisville basketball, you're like, making the tournament would be a success this year.
What do you think happens? Do you think they get the ban or do you think they are?
I don't know. You know, that's the $1 million question, man. I mean, they are meeting in LA tomorrow for the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, they're meeting in LA because we went the IRP route.
Mm.
Once that decision's down, we can't appeal that decision. So there's hope with it because of the NC State decision, because of obviously, you know, NC State. They ended up not getting a ban. There's other conversations that the IRP and the NCAA have said they would like to punish the people involved a little more than the schools. But Louisville also has you were kind of on probation at the time. So, you know, there's always that caveat in the back of your mind. You're like, well, things are kind of setting up where they wouldn't give Louisville a ban, but does that trump everything? And do they say, well, but we kind of have to, because I'll tell you, the attitude with Louisville fans right now on that is just let's get it over with.
Yeah,
whatever it is, you know, it's missing the tournament in 16, pulling ourselves out of the tournament. It was like, I'm gonna throw up. It was the worst.
It's not an Oklahoma State situation where you get Cade Cunningham for 1 year and that's the year that you're not allowed to be in the tournament. Like, that's just crushing.
Right. And see, Louisville had just beaten UNC, number one team in the country, you know, and then it was like the next day they're out.
Yeah.
And that felt like death to all of us, you know. Now, since then, it's kind of crazy. It's one of those stats that people that aren't around Louisville don't realize, because I think Louisville's name, you just think Louisville basketball. Since 2015, that was the last time Louisville was in the second weekend of the tournament.
Oh, wow.
Since 2015, they've won one tournament game against Jacksonville State. Like, okay, for people outside of Louisville, you're like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Like,
yes.
Okay, for us, it's like, we've lived through this. You know, we're like, God, I mean, March now, I mean, we've set out three marches. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just different things. A tournament ban. We had COVID hit, you know, different stuff. And you're like, then we missed with the NIT, then we lost in the first round to Minnesota. We lost in the second round to Michigan. And it's just like, Louisville fans are a little numb to it right now, where they're like, you know what? If you're going to give us a ban, do it. Let's get it over with. We can sit one more year out to move on.
Yeah. You
know? So that it's a weird scenario. But there is hope that maybe, you know, maybe they're like, hey, Louisville, you know, you've been dealing with this for 5 years, I mean, 4.5 now, you know, maybe there's a little time served, you know, so.
There you go. We'll end on this. I'm okay with BHH moving on. Hey, Tennessee guy, here for it. What I'm not okay with, Steven, is what y'all did, the tampering and the monstrosity that was Teyon Evans moving on to Louisville, because that man was an absolute delight. Like, I was already printing the Baby Kamara t-shirts. I was ready for this. Like, what he did against Mizzou is illegal in 7 states. I mean, super, super talented back. And I was just all in. I was telling folks, I'm like, y'all, Teyon Evans is like, this is happening. This JUCO kid who came in, like, he's really, really good. He's going to be just a dominant force. And then he just disappears late in the season, and I'm not sure what happened there, but ultimately he's gone, and then he pops up at Louisville, and I was just I was devastated. I'm not gonna lie, Steven, it was brutal for me. Is he looking okay? Is my guy looking okay this summer?
Yeah, I think he'll start.
Great, love it.
Yeah, I think he's one. And actually, you know, Louisville's running back room is really good. So what I kind of make that, I say that so bluntly, but it's like, it's actually a compliment, because I mean, Louisville probably is going to come into the season with the third best running back stable in the conference, you know, so, like, and for him, he come right in And I know a couple football coaches kind of said off the record, but they won't mind. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. They were like, he was different.
Yeah.
They're like, when he walked in, you were like, this kid's different. And we were workouts one day. And I mean, just his thighs, like how he worked out. You were like, it was almost, you know, it not quite as big, but it reminded me of when Michael Dyer.
Yeah.
Oh boy. And everybody was like, God almighty. It is insane. So yeah, there's a lot of high hopes for Evan or Evans. And listen, Louisville cannot tamper. Scott Satterfield, after when you call out Nick Saban for tampering, like you better not be tampering. So it's but people are excited about him, man. He looks like a heck of a player, and it's a year where Satterfield's got to he's got to win this year, man.
But see, the thing with that is, like, I just feel like it doesn't matter, because like everything I've read, it's just. He's the South Carolina thing, I think, pissed a lot of people off, as you know. And I think once you got on the Chris Mack roll, is what we call it now, where it just like it seems like it's not the right culture fit. And it just it's not going to end well. Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, where it was just clear that good coach, just not the right culture fit for that. Like Satterfield can win nine games this year. And he's still just I think it's a year to year thing with him. I don't think the fan base is going to be all the way unless he goes to a playoff. Like that's probably it. It's like, if he really fixes it and they're a playoff team or something, or they win the ACC, then it's like, all right, whatever, we're good with it and we'll move on. But I just don't see a path to that right now. So I don't know. It's very weird. I just don't think he's there long-term.
No, I know. You know, he's got this big recruiting class in, and to your point, locally, I mean, this class is insane. He's got the number one running back in the country. Yeah. On campus this weekend, and like you got a legit shot, and fans are still kind of like,
that's a bad sign. And it's not an indictment on him, he's a good coach.
We'll see what he does this year, you know, kind of that kind of deal. So, to your point, I don't disagree. I think that it's one where I've said it like this, and it's funny you use the reference on the air many times. I'm like, it just feels like a marriage that's not gonna work, but we're trying to make it work, you know. Yeah.
And he's trying, you're trying, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's just, we're not long-term compatible, and that's okay. Like, Satterfield will be fine wherever else he goes, like, after this.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
He's a good coach. But we'll see. We'll see. Steven, what can the good folks check out from you and the team over there at ESPN Louisville this week?
Oh, man, listen, this week, obviously, we're coming up on a huge, I mentioned it just a second ago, a huge football recruiting weekend. Have our guy Pierce Clarkson, the quarterback, committed. I think there's 13, 14 four-star players, 2 5-star players. And I know that, I mean, listen, they're pulling out Churchill Downs this weekend. They're doing it up big for them. They're like, hey, listen, sweet night races. That's all eyes are kind of on that. And a little nugget, Pierce Clarkson, the quarterback commit, said probably a month and a half ago, he said, hey, that big recruiting weekend on the 17th of June, he said, there's also going to be basketball commitment news. And that's kind of been a conversation too, you know, hey, is something going to happen this weekend with basketball? So right now, man, it is 100% for this week alone, recruiting. And are we going to get guards? That's the two questions, you know, so that's where we're at right now in Louisville, man.
There you go. Steven, this has been so much fun. I appreciate you making the time, man. We'll have to check back in again soon.
Please, anytime, man. I had a blast.
All right, that'll do it with part 3 here on the Friday, June 17th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network. I hope you guys enjoyed all 3 parts on this edition of the pod. If you missed any of the earlier parts, guess what? You can check them all out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you get your podcast. Every episode right there once you're subscribed. So make sure you go ahead and do that today if you've not already done so. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com, type in the Chase Thomas Podcast. You'll find us there, or just youtube.com/ChaseThomas Podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe, all of our good video content over there. Email me, ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. Tweet at me at Chase_Thomas. Like the Facebook page at Facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. And then, of course, subscribe to the newsletter, SportsRenaissanceMan.substack.com. That's me, SportsRenaissanceMan.substack.com. All kinds of more content coming on the pod over the weekend. Got another 3-parter, looks like, going into tomorrow, and we'll see what the rest of the weekend holds. But as always, more and more big stuff coming along the pike here as we continue expanding and growing this thing here at Blue Wire. So appreciate you guys sticking by it and making the Chase and Wes podcast part of your Friday listen. So greatly appreciate it, guys. Hope you keep coming back and keep listening and all that good stuff, because I greatly appreciate it and love doing it. So that's it for the Friday edition of the Chase Most Podcast. Thank you as always, and I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.